This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Obviously uncertainty. Don't know what's going to happen. I enjoyed my time here. It was a lot of fun. So I really don't know. It's a good question. I most importantly want my decision to be based for my family, and I'm going to take that into account.
Welcome back to the program. Those are the words of Randall Cobb. Mike Clemens, our NFL insider and our green and gold insider, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Mike, the dust has settled at least from the weekend and from the article. And it appears that there's going to be a lot of questions asked. Guys are now showing up, getting their physicals, getting ready for the off-season workout, so to speak. But how long does this linger, do you think?
Listen, I've already asked Aaron Rodgers this 2 years ago. When another one of these stories flared up, and things like Greg Jennings or Donald Driver, and I said, why are guys still questioning your leadership? And he said, I don't know. He said, listen, the only people I care about are the 53 guys in this locker room, and everybody in this locker room knows how hard I work and that I'm available to them, and I can't be distracted by the, quote, outside noise. But there's a lot of that stuff that came from that story last week that, oh, wait a minute now, the quarterback was changing plays, and undermining the coach. There was plenty of silos going on. But one of the things that, I'm always intrigued by is I'm not big into the contracts and necessarily the free agency, but I do know that if you gave up on a player, why did you make that decision, and why did the other team pick him up, like a Randall Cobb? Well, of course, Randall's production tapered off. In 2014, he had his best season, where he had like 91 catches and 1,200 yards and I think a dozen touchdowns. That's when he went to the Pro Bowl. Last year, injuries again, only in 9 games, hamstring, concussion. So why did the Cowboys sign him? Because that's a pretty good organization. He's only 28 years old. The Cowboys lost their slot receiver, Cole Beasley, who's 29, to the Bills in free agency. They paid him a bundle, $29 million, $17 million the first 2 years, $14 million guaranteed. Cole Beasley was an important part for Dak Prescott. They have added Allen Hurns, of course, from the Jags, but he had that gruesome broken ankle in a playoff game against Seattle, surgery. They picked up Amari Cooper. He's their showcase guy now, Michael Gallup, Tavon Austin. So that's where Randall's going to fit in, and they like his versatility, slot, a wide out. He can line up in the backfield, return punts, and he's experienced. And so with forgetting Randall for 1 year at just $5 million, and they got Jason Witten coming back, then that filled a gap for the Cowboys. And, okay, now I understand. Because of course, for the Packers, we pretty much knew this by December. If you got Davante Adams and Geronimo Allison, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Equanimeous St. Brown, the two rookies from last year, and Jake Kumerow coming back, and he may push out Jamon Moore for playing time because Kumerow can hold on to the football, that's why you could move on from Randall Cobb.
Then they moved on from Clay Matthews as well. And you know what, though, Mike? It's you and I talked about this at one point and said, what would Bill Belichick do? And Bill Belichick probably wouldn't have given out some of these second contracts. He's a guy that cuts guys, moves on, and if everybody wants to do the Belichickian thing, then you're not giving these guys contracts to begin with. So the fact that they're moving on from these guys doesn't surprise me at all,
Well, and you knew that Nick Perry was probably done because he's been injury-plagued. But there was a sense that maybe Clay still had a shot because of his experience. And he had a good year last year. I mean, he really did. Played in all 16 games. He got robbed those first three sacks that he had because they were calling in, roughing the passer, unnecessary roughness. And Clay thought that maybe there was a chance, too. And when we were at the combine, his agent was meeting with Russ Ball, the vice president of finance with the Packers, and so you thought that maybe that was at least they were, you know, trying to fish. But I think in the end, Clay pretty much got the Jordy Nelson treatment, quite frankly. Clay is married to Casey. She's been a host on HGTV. They had a baby boy, their third child, Colton, the first week in March, just as the free agency stuff was going down. Now, he signed a deal with the Rams for 2 years, $16 million, including incentives. But the base value is only $9.5 million. He's only going to get $5.5 million guaranteed. So really, the Rams got Clay Matthews for a one-year deal worth $5.5 million. They could release him after the first year. Why did the Rams need Clay Matthews? Well, they had to release their linebacker, Mark Barron, to make space on salary cap. He got a good deal from the Steelers. The defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips, liked Clay at both inside linebacker and pass rusher in the rotation. They had traded for Dante Fowler last year. They picked him up from the Jags. They moved him to outside linebacker. Now, that's where they spent their money. 1 year, $14 million, $12 million guaranteed. So for Clay to come back home to Los Angeles, where he's building a home, where, you know, that's where he played it, USC inside the Coliseum. That game that he played there, you know, against the Rams, that was kind of a homecoming for him. So Clay sort of laid this all out about his move to the Rams and reflected on his time in Green Bay going back to 2009.
Early in my career, you know, I was probably a predominantly edge rusher, and I've had success at doing that. And then you saw kind of in the middle of my career switching to inside because of necessity or whatever the reason was for. I thought I excelled at both positions. I thought when you allow me to play in space and you allow me to go play sideline to sideline and downhill, good things are going to happen. So I know I have the ability to produce like I've done before, and, you know, not to make excuses, but, you know, there was some change last year, you know, in the Packers organization, and unfortunately it didn't work out for me. But, you know, as far as moving forward, I know I'm a difference maker. I know I can change games, and it's obviously a new experience for me. I've been fortunate enough to be with the same organization for 10 years, so this was definitely new. But as soon as, you know, my chance to return to Green Bay was kind of past me, then I knew I wanted to come to the Rams, and I put it on my agent, and I put it on these guys here to try and get something done. And fortunately, the feeling was mutual, and they were very receptive to the idea, seeing how I fit within the defense. And, you know, from a football standpoint, it makes perfect sense. But for me personally, with where I'm at in my career, having grown up in the area, you know, living all of 20 minutes away from here, it made sense. You know, we're building a house out here. I've got three kids now. I think my wife was more excited than I was to have signed with the Rams.
So when you mentioned him going back to the Coliseum, was there any foreshadowing? Did he give an indication that, hey, I don't think I'm coming back to the Packers, this is where I want to go?
I talked to him about that in the tunnel after that game. You know, and that was such a disappointment that afternoon. Clay had seven tackles in that game against the Rams. And why do you think they came after him? Because, I mean, he impressed them. He looked pretty good on that field. Packers losing 29-27. Clay sacked Jared Goff in the middle of the fourth quarter. That should have been the dagger for the game, but the offense couldn't come through, and, of course, the special teams screw up from Ty Montgomery. Blake Martinez was off to a fat start. Jair Alexander had half a dozen deflected passes. If there's one game to watch that tells the whole story of 2018, it's that Packers at Rams game at the Coliseum. It shows what the potential of the Packers could have been, and it showed all the breakdowns that they had. And there was funny at the press conference where they introduced Clay, because they gave him the full treatment, man. You know, the Packers really don't do that with their free agents. But they sat him down there with the GM and with Sean McVay, and Clay talked about the disappointment of that loss against the Rams.
Yeah, that was a great game, too. One that we should have won, but, you know, came up a little
bit. But you didn't.
Yeah,
well,
we did.
That's Sean McVay. Now, here's Sean McVay saying, hey, this guy's, he might be 32, maybe he's lost a step, but you can't find guys that are that versatile like Clay Matthews.
Our systems are always adapted to our players' strengths, and when you have a player that has that versatile skill set, you can utilize him in a variety of ways. You know, I think obviously what he does at an extremely high level is when he's going forward and trying to affect and influence the quarterback, rushing the quarterback, setting the edge in the run game. So I think you'll see a lot of that. But then when you get into some of those known passing situations, you can get creative with where you'll move him around. So it's exciting, and it's something that's going to be evolving as we continue to get more familiar with each other.
So, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say this. I know at the very top the Packers are impressed by Sean McVay and how he beat the Packers on that day, and how he's, in a year and a half, he's taken that Rams team to the Super Bowl. Everybody in the league is. That's why he's already got a coaching tree. He's a year and a half into the NFL as a head coach, and he's got, you know, head coaches, including the new head coach of the Green Bay Packers, from his coaching tree. Now listen to this guy. Listen to this interview. Sean McVay, the head coach of the Rams, he sat down with Brian Gumbel on HBO. Listen to this clip.
Is it true what I read that you have a photographic memory where plays are concerned?
I think that probably a more accurate thing is I just don't have any balance. So all I really have, you know, the only room I have in my brain.
No, seriously. I mean, do you really remember?
I remember plays, but it's something that, you know, you're constantly going through it.
Well, let's see. Let's see. last year, week 16, you're playing the Titans.
Yep.
You got the ball second 11 at your own 20. 4:24 left in the second quarter. You remember what happened?
4:24 left in the second quarter.
Yeah.
Second and 11, I could probably say when we were going in, we were flipped the field. That was when we hit Gurley on the 80-yard screen after we had on the first play, we went negative one, and then the series before that, we had a, you know, they recovered a fumble for a touchdown when our guard went the wrong way.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
80-yard touchdown pass. How about when you came to New York? You're playing the Giants in week 9.
Yep.
2:40 remaining in the second quarter. Giants got the ball third and 10 at the 14-yard line. Remember what happened?
Giants had the ball?
Yeah.
2:40 left in the second quarter. Tremaine Johnson had an interception. Yeah.
Bingo. All right, let's try one more. Week 5, going way back now. You're at home against the Seahawks. 56 seconds left third quarter. Rams got the ball third and 20. Seattle's 25. Remember what happened?
Third and 20. On Seattle's 25.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we called a screen and it got picked.
Yeah, it did. Sheldon Richardson.
Yep.
Goff threw the interception.
Yep. That was a killer right there.
That's kind of amazing.
I mean, who does
that?
Who does that?
No doubt. Mike, hang in there. We're going to go ahead and come back to you when we come back. Stay tuned. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
There's really great players in this group. We'll see if they become great Packers and they produce for us. That always will be the, you know, we'll find out. But we're excited to have them. We needed to get better on our edges. We needed some help at safety. And really, you know, glad to add Billy Turner where we added him. So we'll see. We'll see how they fit into the group. But it's, you know, this is about team, right? And it's about wins and losses. And I think these guys will help us win.
Welcome back to the program. I tell you what. Hopefully they help him win. We'll talk with Mike Clemens coming up here momentarily, our Green and Gold Insider. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip. Don't forget, at Quick Trip, the road to the NBA championship begins April 13th in Milwaukee. Red Bull and Quick Trip, they have partnered up to provide a lucky fan with a VIP playoff experience, a couple of seats, an on-court experience, food vouchers, gear, and a whole lot more. When you stop into any Quick Trip and you purchase a 12-ounce can of Red Bull with your Quick Rewards card, you are automatically entered to win the grand prize. For all the details, go to quicktrip.com/sweepstakes for more information. Don't forget today, $1 for that Karuba Gold coffee. Only $1 for that good stuff. And that is all from our friends over there at Quick Trip. So, Mike, we're sitting here earlier. I was asking Paul Emmick the exact same thing. I mean, as much attention as we're going to pay to the offense, the defense is something that they've really put an effort into already, bringing in the linebacker Preston Smith and such, and trying to bolster that side. Because, look, if the offense can't be as prolific as you would hope it would be, the defense has to get some stops, and that's where they started.
Yeah, and, you know, my question is, I'm just trying to be, because I, you know, Preston Smith didn't exactly jump out to me last year when he was with the Redskins, or Za'Darius Smith. I saw some Ravens games. So I get why you're replacing 32-year-old Clay Matthews or banged-up Nick Perry with guys that are 25, 26 years old, looking for their second deal and all that, and you just turn back the clock 5 years. I get that. Preston is 6'6", 256 pounds, a little bit of an inconsistent player. He comes up with some big plays. But he got a, you know, he got a boatload. 4 years, $52 million, but only 16 guaranteed. $8 million off the cap, going up to 2021. All this, you know, it's always these things where they work out the deal. By the way, we're in that period now when you want players to sign up, show up in the off season. And you know where the roster bonus really came from? Andrew Brandt, the former vice president of finances for the Packers. He said, you know, when we got in, they started those OTAs and stuff, it's hard to get a guy from Florida to come back to Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, so we came up with the roster bonus, and now everybody uses them as a way to get these guys, you know, back to Buffalo or Green Bay or whatever to start working out. So I'm still looking for, like, well, what's the other thing? I mean, what's sort of the turning point as to why the Packers had that interest in Preston Smith? Ah, because the new head coach worked with Kirk Olivadotti, who he's hired as his inside linebacker coach. Kirk worked with this guy when he was with the Redskins, and that's what Preston talked about when he landed in Green Bay.
Well, I call him KO, Kirk Olivadotti. He's a great person. He's a great coach. It's great to see him here. He always was, you know, great with, you know, getting information and helping guys be as best as they can and to maximize their potential. He coached my first year when I got to Washington, and he helped me be the best I could be. And he helped me, you know, develop into the player I am. He helped develop me into the player I am. I know he can do great things with great players around him, and he can help develop players to help them get ready for Sundays. And I felt like being here was the best for me and my family, and I felt like I can help bring a lot to the table to help us, you know, get to the Super Bowl and help bring some things back to title time.
So if he's that good of a football player, why did the Redskins let him go? Well, because he got a huge deal in Green Bay, and they've got a second-year guy out of Alabama, Ryan Anderson. They think they can fill the gap. So that's why they thought, well, we may not be able to re-sign him when it gets to free agency. Now, he's made some big plays, yes, but he's kind of an up-and-down guy. Tariq El-Bashir covers the Redskins for The Athletic, and here's what he told us about what you'll see from Preston Smith.
If you were to put Preston Smith in a defense where he doesn't have a whole lot of responsibility in terms of covering the flat, he can just pin his ears back and get after the quarterback. He's got an array of pass-rushing moves. He's got strong hands. Like I said, man, there are afternoons the past 4 years when you watch Preston Smith and he's got a sack and he's got a couple of tackles for loss and maybe a forced fumble. You know, last year he recovered a fumble in the end zone for a big touchdown. He can make plays. The key for him is just figuring out how to do it week to week. I don't know really if it was taking care of his body or just getting up for every game was, but I know that was a source of frustration for the Redskins coaches.
The way Mike Pettine schemes, Mike, you saw this last year. He could put guys in almost any position and make them make plays. So I don't worry about if you have to scheme for a guy. I think Mike Pettine is a guy that can do that.
Yeah, you know, and so he loses the experience with Matthews and Perry. Kyler Fackrell's coming back, but there's really nobody else that really, you know, jumped out last year. So they bring in Za'Darius Smith, who's been very excited about his transition to Green Bay. At least all the messages he put on social media about it, very excited about getting the deal. Outside linebacker, $66 million deal, included a $20 million signing bonus, 6'4", 272 pounds, a fourth-round pick for the Ravens in 2015, and now here he is with the Packers. Now, the Ravens have all got some salary cap issues as well. What's interesting is, though, this guy didn't play football until his senior year in high school, and really, he kind of grew up wanting to be a basketball player.
It really happened, and if I can, I want to shout out to my high school football coach, Ben Blackman. If you would have said no to me coming out, I wouldn't be here today, so that's good. But I did. I actually was a basketball player my whole life, and things didn't go right my senior year. I wanted scholarships. I didn't have many scholarships for basketball, so went out and played football. For him to say yes, man, he said, just go get the quarterback. Got 11 sacks. A lot of teams didn't want to take me, not college teams, but like D1 schools didn't want to give me an offer because I was a one-year guy, but went the junior college route, learned the game of football, and went to Kentucky, and here I am now.
Yeah, the fourth-round pick out of Kentucky for the Ravens.
How does somebody go from not playing any football to all of a sudden senior year in high school and being that? I mean, you got to have just like mad ball skills and mad athleticism to be able to do that.
I guess so. You know, and, you know, I think he's kind of a one-trick pony in terms of just trying to get using the speed to get to the quarterback. Terry Ford is from the Fan Radio in Baltimore, and he talked about the Za'Darius Smith at a really good 2018.
The good thing about him when he's right, I mean, he can rush from the outside. You can slide him into the interior. He can get pressure from, you know, the inside and the face of a quarterback. When Za'Darius Smith is playing well, I mean, he's a nice pass rusher when he's playing well. When he's not, again, you don't even know he's on the field. I mean, you're thinking you're playing with 10 guys. So That was his MO until this year. Now, this year, to be fair, much more consistent, 8.5 sacks, had a good amount of pressures. And, again, maybe he's a guy that's now going to pop. I mean, you're hoping that's what's going to happen in Green Bay because you're paying him a good amount of money for a couple of years guaranteed. But if you get the Za'Darius Smith in this past year, you're going to be quite happy.
Hey, Mike, you got another segment in you?
Sure do.
Hang in there. Let's do this. We'll give you a little more time coming up in the next segment. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show. We continue on. Mike Clemens joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. This portion is brought to you by Chili's, the 3 for $10 right now for a limited time, featuring Chili's mouthwatering signature sirloin steak. That's a starter, entree, drink, just $10. Mike Clemens joining us here on the Schneider Orange Hotline as we wrap up this hour regarding some Packers chatter. But, you know, Mike, the more you find out about some of the guys that are coming into this situation, you certainly hope that they're going to be able to help you in the long run because it can be a little mixed emotions, I guess, on some, on some part. On another part, you can be like, hey, you're at least getting veteran guys in here that can upgrade and help some of the young guys.
You know, what's different, though, is these four guys coming in, I mean, the team spent over $55 million in signing bonuses for four players, and that hasn't been the way since Ted Thompson was around the place, right? And so it'll be interesting to see what the reaction is in the locker room with these four guys coming in. Another one is the need they had at safety. You traded away Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. You'd had enough of him. He ends up with the Bears. Adrian Amos, who's been a consistent player for the Bears, ends up with the Green Bay Packers. Now, Adrian also does some network stuff, too. He's been on the NFL Network, and he talked about what it was like to leave Chicago and the Bears and go north to the Packers.
Man, it's been mixed emotions. It's been those radical Bear fans that's been, you know, angry in my messages and stuff like that, but then it's been that same amount of, you know, people congratulating me and things like that. All my teammates have been very supportive. They was in my phone throughout the whole process, and basically they was all just telling me do what's best, you know, for me and my family. So, because they know everybody, just their goal to get to that second contract and get to a place that wants you. And so, and then Green Bay has been very welcoming. Even when I went to Green Bay, the fans are welcoming, the coaches are welcoming. So I feel like it's going to be a good deal.
He said that the Packers were very aggressive, one of the first to call him in free agency.
Yeah.
And so I think that points out that Brian Gutekunst knew that this is a guy he had targeted because this was a position they need to fix. You know, Kentrell Bryce was an undrafted player, earned his way onto the field. Joe Witt liked him, smart back there. But that ankle injury he had a year and a half ago and never really came back from. So they moved on from him, and this was a position of need. So you got an experienced guy back there. Maybe he can set them up. Whether or not Josh Jones is going to be able to, a second-round pick from a couple of years ago, get his head in the game and be able to be the other safety back there, we'll have to see who else they're going to compete with. But Adrian Amos got a deal that he wouldn't have gotten in Chicago. He got 4 years, $37 million, $11 million signing bonus out of Green Bay. Next year, the Bears have got to take care of Eddie Jackson, who's an outstanding safety, outstanding football player. And John Moon Mullins covers the Bears for NBC, and he talked about Adrian Amos, your new safety from Chicago, that this is a Penn State guy.
One of the things you typically get out of a Penn State player, they're solid. Oftentimes the knock on them was that they were so well coached that they didn't always have a lot of upside, but they were always solid. I mean, the Bears had a Bobby Engram, you had LeVar Arrington. There's some very, very good players, but they really were solid. And I think that's exactly what you're getting with Amos. I mean, he's a real quality member of the Vic Fangio defense. So he's coming up, obviously, with some 3-4 knowledge. Maybe not the greatest cover guy. In fact, I think he went almost to his first 2,000 snaps in the NFL. I know his first 2 years without an interception. I think his first one didn't come until game 6 or 7 of his third year. Not a ball hawk. He's no Leroy Butler, let's face it. But I think, he brings a quality. He's not going to make a lot of mistakes. He's not going to be the blow-up, takeaway guy that some safeties are, who the Bears do think they have in Jackson. So, Eddie Jackson, they think they have a generational talent there, and they're going to have to pay him in another year. So he really couldn't take on the kind of contract that Adrian was looking for.
So, Mike, how much better do you think this secondary is right here, right now?
Well, Jair Alexander, man, I mean, he really came on in the second half. So, you know, you've got that and two or three other young guys that are picking up. You know, I guess that they'll still see if they can go with Tremont Williams to back you up with some experience at safety. They moved him to safety as the year wore on. And I'd feel comfortable about having Tremont back there, at least for the start, right? And then whoever they pick up, you know, in the draft.
I think Tremont's big when it comes to the you know, the studying side of things.
Absolutely. I mean, he's like having another position coach in the room and showing those guys how to break down the tape.
Yeah, I think that's going to be huge. So the offensive line, you know, they pick up Billy Turner. At least they've got a guy that's got some experience there.
Yeah, you know, on the outside, people are saying if you're signing Billy Turner to a four-year deal worth $28 million, well, that means he's going after Brian Bulaga's job. Now, Billy Turner, you know, he got drafted by the Dolphins, started out with them, and ended up getting cut by them. He's worked his way up with the Broncos, mostly on the right side of the line, right guard, right tackle, and some left guard he played there. Wasn't exactly a starter, but Andrew Mason worked for 760 Radio in Denver, and he talked about Billy Turner leaving the Broncos and what he thinks he could do for Green Bay.
He's really versatile, can handle both right side spots pretty well, but also has the flexibility to work at left guard. He was able to make a pretty quick transition to the Broncos when he first came over a couple of years ago at midseason after the Dolphins let him go. A real industrious player, a real hard worker, and a persistent guy. You see it in the ability for him to kind of to step in and play reasonably well, even when he was coming in off the bench. And you know, in Miami, really struggled, actually got cut at midseason down there a couple of years back, and looked like his career was a bit on the ropes, but he did a good job getting into Denver, learning the scheme, getting back on track, and establishing himself as at least a solid rotational backup. Now what the Packers are, at that money, they're going to ask him to start. And that's kind of the big question. Can Billy Turner step up from a rotational backup, a swing guy, and become an every-down starter? Now, that being said, he's never worked with a quarterback behind him like Aaron Rodgers. So certainly that's going to help him out as well, a quarterback who can move around and make quick decisions. That's going to make Billy Turner look better.
And if Matt LaFleur's running game looks like what Kyle Shanahan was running when those two were together with the Falcons, they're going to ask these linemen to get out faster and to, you know, lead blocks in their zone, go downfield more than they have with just, you know, pass protecting for Aaron Rodgers and more of a running game. The other thing I think has been really interesting for an offseason development is the new head coach, Matt LaFleur, saying, you know what, we're scrapping the Saturday practice, the McCarthy.
Thank God. Thank God.
Yeah, and I thought, you know what, that's taken control. It's like, A, I've never been with a team that didn't practice on Friday. I understand the argument about the GPS said, well, actually, you know, runners, if they run on the day before a race, they're better than if they take the day off, blah, blah, blah. He said, look, I want practice on Friday because I want to make sure the execution is right. Because if I still can't get it right by Friday's practice, I still got time to change the game plan and still do a jog for
right.
Saturday. That's smart.
Yep, no doubt. Mike, great stuff. We'll talk again soon as the Packers offseason workouts get underway tomorrow. And we'll chat, buddy. Take care. Thank you,
Bill.
All right, buddy. Hey, it's time for us to get out of here that quick. We'll talk about the national championship game. We'll also talk about the Brewers and the Angels coming up tomorrow. Adam McCalvey is going to join us. Jeremy Jeffress tomorrow. Wow, we got a lot of good stuff. Till then, have a good one. Sleep.
Station strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.